Father, we pray your presence be with us. That's all we want. To know that you're with us. Nothing else is important. Nothing else matters. Bless us with your presence. And bless us again with the assurance that what it is that you've done in our life is real. Speak to us through your word this morning, we ask. In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So we started a series last week called Our Confidence Is In. And so it's based on that song, Our Confidence Is In The Lord. But we don't always put it in the Lord, do we? And so last week we looked at self-confidence and how well that didn't go for Lucifer. And so today what I wanted to talk about is our confidence is in our testimony. But before we do that, we're going to look at a couple of passages in the book of Hebrews today. But before we do that, I think it's important that I give you some background information. Let me set the scene or give you a context to build a picture of what was going on with the Hebrew believers at this time or who the book of Hebrews was directed to. The book of Hebrews is a word of exhortation or encouragement. It tells us that in Hebrews 13:22, and it's sent in a letter from encouraging faithful perseverance in the light of the final word God has revealed through Jesus Christ. These people needed to be encouraged. And the person who wrote the letter is offering them encouragement. We don't with any certainty know who wrote the book. They're a second generation believer who is a skilled preacher and interpreter of scripture. The date that it was written is not completely known either. They suggest between 1590, but possibly before AD 70, as no mention of the destruction of the temple is included in the letter. The letter appears to have been written to a group of predominantly Jewish Christians, possibly a house church in Rome, that's opting out a relationship with a larger Christian community. And the author writes to the community because they're discouraged because of suffering. And they might be doubting whether Jesus really took care of sin. The writer is attempting to convince them not to throw away your confidence. These believers were educated and had followed Christ for some time. They should have been mature and teaching their faith to others, but they were too focused on how others looked down on them. They were thinking about going back to their former way of life without Jesus in order to be popular again. And there are several emphases in the letter, such as God has spoken his final word in his Son. To abandon Christ is to abandon God altogether. Christ is superior to everything that went before. The old covenants, angelic visitations, the Exodus, the entire priestly system. Or we would know Jesus called it the Law and the Prophets. God's people can have full confidence in God's Son, the perfect high priest who gives everyone access to God. When you hear that backdrop, when you hear the context of what those believers were experiencing, it starts to make sense that we're not the only ones that have found it hard, that we're not the only people that have challenges in our lives. These people did as well. And what I want us to look at today is our confidence is in our testimony, or what God has already done in your life. Because sometimes it's easy to think, oh, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Oh, woe is me. I can't cope any longer. I might just go back to doing what I did before. Oh, no. And then you take a step back from that and look at where you've come from. But we'll look at that in a moment. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, I don't know if you can read that, verses 32 to 39. And I've underlined the first word in there that says, remember. And it's important that you remember. But it says this, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So, encouragement for tomorrow comes from yesterday's strength. And you might think, really? That's my first point. Encouragement for tomorrow comes from yesterday's strength. So I was reading this passage all through the week. I was listening to some stuff about it. And the first thing that really hit me was verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Don't throw it away. Don't give it away. Don't give away your confidence. How do you know when you're confident? Do you know you can do tests online to see if you're confident? I looked at this yesterday, it was fun. But it's not really going to tell you what confidence is in our context. And so, you can give your confidence away. You can throw your confidence away. But the writer to the Hebrews says, don't throw it away. It will be richly rewarded. And I was perplexed when I read this. I thought, don't throw it away. I wasn't aware that I had given it away. I wasn't aware that the people in Hebrews had given it away. I always thought and always understood that it had been taken. Maybe they've just allowed people to take it. But we can get our encouragement from yesterday's strength. And you might be wondering, what are you talking about? But then when you read verses 32 to 34, remember, that's why I underlined it, remember those earlier days after you'd received the gift, the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. They had done it before. And what the writer to the Hebrews is saying is, look at what you came through. Look at what you've endured. Look at what you put up with in the past. What's changed that you can't do it now? Don't throw away your confidence. Because it will be richly rewarded. Confidence in what? And what I want you to do right now is to think about your first ever spiritual experience. Godly spiritual experience. This was the time where the Spirit of God moved upon your heart for the very first time and confirmed the truth of Jesus Christ to you and in you. Do you remember that? I remember that. I remember being a not-so-fresh-faced teenager in Glasgow. And I remember people telling me about Jesus. I remember the night that I made the decision for Christ. And it took a while. It took about a year, but see, after that, I just knew. Other people encouraged me, but I knew nothing could hold me back. And I think I was quite a cocky individual. Wasn't he arrogant, but I didn't even lack confidence. And the guy who became my best man, he told me, he says, "You are overconfident." And I never ever was overconfident. I was never ever confident in myself. But I'll be honest, I was confident in God-given abilities, because I realised, I went to college, I left school with no qualifications, and then when I turned 20, going on to 21, I started further education college, and I thought, I don't know why I'm doing this, but well, I do, because I felt as if the Lord said, "John, you need to get an education for where I want to take you." And I thought, what? Me? Educated? That's strange. So I applied to college and they let me in, bizarrely. And so I went there for a year and I actually really, really enjoyed it. It was wonderful. And we did these things way back called O-levels, kind of like GCSEs. And I did some O-levels and I got quite a few and I actually enjoyed it. And some of the lecturers kind of liked me. And this was unusual because people had never really liked me before. And she encouraged me to come back. And so I went back the following year and I did hires. You do A-levels here, we do hires in Scotland. And so I was doing my hires and I really enjoyed it. I thought, this is great. And I passionately hated school, but in this context, things were wonderful. And I loved it. And it was so good. But he kept telling me, "You are overconfident." And I never was. I was not confident in my own ability to get an education. But I believe wholeheartedly that God spoke to me because he had put something in me or brought something out of me that was already there that I had never recognised before. And when I went to college, I started to learn a whole lot about me that I had never experienced before. My confidence was not in John Shades. My confidence at that point was in Jesus, because in of myself, I could not have passed a single exam, test, or paper. Well, I never really wrote many papers, but that's another issue. And so, at that time, people would talk about God in the wrong way, and you're ready to stand up for Jesus, and you're like ready to fight, apart from the time when the bushwhackers got me on the bus. But the thing that's changed, and I ask you this, when you had that before, somebody spoke and used the Lord's name in vain, or somebody cursed and you were the first one to stand up and say, "Well, wait a minute, don't do that, that's my God, that's my Jesus, that's my Lord, that's my Saviour," or whatever. Where's that fire gone? Where's that passion that had you stand up for what you knew was right? Remember your endurance? Remember when your back was against the wall and there was no way out, but you depended on God? And then all of his infinite wisdom and power came and rescued you. And I don't know what that is, But remember when maybe your rent was due or bills were piled up, and out of nowhere, things started happening to you that you couldn't explain. That was nobody else but God. Other people might have came and dropped a tenner through your door, but who encouraged them to come and do that? Who inspired them to come and do that? Who inspired the person to come and give you the envelope? Who inspired the person to put the money into your bank? Who inspired the person to pay for this thing for you? That was the Lord. And at that time, you had no fear because you trusted in Him completely. And that seems to have changed. So what I need for this wee example, I need three people. Winston, will you come? Felicity, will you come, please? Harry, you come. So Felicity, I'm going to ask you to stand over here and just face there. Okay, come back a wee bit. I don't want it to look like you're in the corner for misbehaving. Okay, Winston, can you come here? And can you stretch your, what arm can you, your left, right, so just a wee, right, so you can't reach a step, a wee touch back, that you just cannot reach Felicity yet. Good job, brilliant. Harry, I know that you haven't misbehaved either, so can you go in here, but face this way, because we love you and we want you to see. Okay, and so Winston is, this is where Winston's at the minute, in his walk, in his life, in everything, and he is in this position, and he's doing great. But he cannot quite reach just where it is that he wants to be. He wants to be where Felicity is, but he just can't reach it. And as he reaches it, he can't quite grasp that. And what is happening right now is he's living in the gap. He's living in the gap between where he is and where he wants to be. But if you're in that gap for too long, you get frustrated. But rather than looking at the gap of where you want to be and where you are, here's the encouragement that I want to give you this morning. Winston, turn around and look how far you've come. You were way back there before. And so often we get that frustrated, we get that annoyed that we cannot just reach to where we want to be. But we forget about how far we've come. And you have come that far. So don't be frustrated at where it is that you want to get to and you're not there yet. You'll get there. But like the Bible verse said to us, do you know, we will get there. Don't throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. And so that wee bit of perseverance will see you through the gap. Thank you, Felicity. Thank you. Thanks, Winston. Thanks, Harry. I saw that illustration about 2 weeks ago and I thought, man, we have to use that. It is so, so good. And so that so often is where we're at. We want to get that wee bit further ahead, but we're so frustrated and we seem to be stuck in this place. And what I want you to do is look back to where you've come from. Encouragement for tomorrow comes from yesterday's strength. You can do this. You didn't come this far just to come this far. Thanks, Sharon. You didn't come this far just to come this far. There is somewhere further to go. And you have come so far, but you've still got another place to go. And the Lord has not given up on you. And you just need to persevere. Don't get discouraged in the gap from where you've been to where you're going. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. So when I say that your testimony, our confidence is in our testimony. Your testimony is important, but you might say, ah, but John, do you know, it's different for you. You grew up in a house in the state in Glasgow when you did this and that. No. You might have had a privileged upbringing, or you might have had something different in between, or it might have been considerably worse than how my upbringing was. And what you find when you become a Christian is you think you had it hard. Then you become a believer and you start to realise, whoa, I had it easy compared to them. And that's how I see it every day. But your testimony of how God brought you from where you are to where you are now is the thing that can spur you on to going on to tomorrow. We look at past triumphs through Jesus Christ as strengths. What has happened to you in the past? What has happened to you in the present? In the present, and what is it that's taken and robbed you of your confidence? Have you just gave it away? You can take that back. That is yours to take, and I encourage you this morning, take it back. Don't leave it lying. And that next point I want to tell you is this. Reward is on the way. Reward is on the way. That's a good thing. I like that. You know, because it says that don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. But how will it be rewarded? Am I guaranteeing that you're going to have this, that, or the next thing? Absolutely not. But your confidence in Him will be rewarded. That's what it's talking about. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. But before we experience the reward, we have to be patient. We have to persevere. And as you persevere in that gap when you're reaching for what's ahead, keep trusting, keep depending, keep focused on Him, and you'll get from there to there. But guess what? When you get to there, there'll be another gap. And you'll have to do the same again. And then there'll be another gap. And so the difficulty that you're experiencing the now is helping to develop strength and endurance. Is it comfortable? Absolutely not. Do you want it to stop? Of course you do. But is it gonna? Probably not. But is the Lord using that to make you a better, stronger person to be able to face bigger trials for in the future? Unfortunately, it's probably the case. And you're thinking, oh, John, it's hard enough as it is. But we have to have faith in who God is. You had faith in who He is before. And you need to have that faith in who He is now. And in 11 verse 1 in Hebrews, it says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. You cannot see your progression to get to that bit in front of you, but you can see the progression of where you've come. And sometimes when you look back and you see where you've come from, it spurs you on to going ahead. So I would encourage you to do that. We don't always see faith, but we can see where we've come from. We can see the effect that faith has had in our life. You can't see the wind, but when you look out and you see the trees moving back and forward, you know that wind is there. And so when you look back on your life, you can see where there has been faith that has brought you from there to where you are now. And that same faith will take you from where you are now to where it is that you want to be. But you just need to persevere. You need to endure. And so, faith's a continuous thing. We have to continue being faithful. We have to exercise our faith like a muscle. We need to build it up, and you need to keep doing that. But in Hebrews 10, 22-25, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes the letters in the New Testament are called occasional letters, and it means that it's written to meet a specific occasion that is happening. And the occasion that is going on, what they're experiencing at this point in their church, is addressed in that passage. You can have full assurance that faith brings. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. Then it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Don't give up on that. Keep hold of that. For he who promised is faithful. He has not changed his mind. Let us consider how we might spur others on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, which is what they were thinking about doing. They were thinking about quitting and going back to being Jews who didn't believe in Jesus. But encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I never noticed this before, and I really, really like this. And you don't see it in your NIV or your NRSV or whatever English translation it is that we're using, but due to the construction of the Greek language in this passage, it uses the first person plural. These verses include five let us exhortations, which are based on the sure work of Christ. In English, you see three. So at the very beginning in verse 22, let us draw near to God. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly. And in verse 24, and let us consider. But it uses it five times. And the five times it says it are these, let us draw near to God. And what that's literally saying there is, we now have access to the most holy place. Let us approach that most holy place, because we now have access to that. Let us do that. Then it says, let us hold fast to our hope. And that can literally mean hold fast, but it can also mean possess. Let us possess our hope. Don't give your hope away. Don't give it away. Keep a tight grip. Let us hold fast, or let us possess our hope. Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. But do you know what that literally means? It literally means let us consider, contemplate, or pay close attention to. So let us pay close attention to how we can spur others on towards love and good deeds. We're meant to do that. We're meant to do that as a body, as a church. That's what the church is meant, and I don't just mean the Vineyard or the Lakes Vineyard, but the church, his church. That's what we're supposed to do. Let us not forsake meeting together with others. And it literally says, let us not abandon or forsake with a sense of peril. If we stop doing this, it's going to be our peril. I don't think it takes too much imagination to figure out what that peril is. But it's in with peril that we give up meeting together. And it seems to be more involved than a mere lack of attendance. And then lastly, let us encourage one another. That literally means a call to be at one's side, and can refer to securing help or assistance. So when you think, let's encourage one another, let's get alongside one another. Let's encourage each other that way, because that's what it's talking about. One of the things you can do to encourage somebody, like we just did with that illustration, and we'll use Winston as example. Winston, because he was in the gap, don't be frustrated at getting to the next level. Look where you've come from. God has done so much in your life. He yeah. has turned your life upside down and inside out. He yeah. has transformed yeah. you from what you once were to who you now are. And he's just started. There is so much more that he wants to do. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't surrender your confidence when you're in the gap. Be confident that he can do again what he'd done before. That's what he wants to do. But here's what you need to do. You need to persevere. And it's not just Winston he's saying that. He's saying that to all of us. And so what I want us to do is take those five exhortations literally. Let us draw near to God. Let's hold fast to our hope. Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not forsake meeting together with others. And let us encourage one another. Can you imagine if we actively did that? Can you imagine the difference? Can you imagine the impact that would have on all our lives? Because there's no a day goes past where people don't feel discouraged, where people lack confidence. And it can be anything that can just take that confidence away if you let it. And if we are fulfilling the let us parts, then the chances that those people will lose their confidence are vastly reduced. Where has God brought you from? What has he brought you from? And how was he involved in changing your past into your present? And how's that shaping as you look to the future? And here we regularly use the wee term that your mess is your message. Don't forget the power of your testimony. Your mess is your message. Your mess that you came from is your testimony. That's the testimony of what God has done in your life. No one can ever take that away from you. And so people might ask you, can you prove this? Can you prove that? Maybe you can. But nobody can ever, ever take away your experience. And look to your experience. Look at what God has done in your life. And don't forget the power of your testimony. Oftentimes when we share what God has done in our past, it releases it into the present. And I have seen that so many times. I have seen that in times where people have shared their testimony. You think of people who are really, really well known who have written Christian books. You think of people like Nicky Cruz. You think of people like Jackie Pullinger. People who have powerful, powerful testimonies. And how is it that when they share their story that people are moved to the same extent or they surrender their life to Christ? How is it that Nicky Cruz comes and shares his story to a group of people and people there are touched by what has happened in his life and want it to happen in theirs? How is it that somebody like Scott McNamara comes here and shares his story of where he's came from to where he is and other people are like, I want what he's got in his life? How is it that when Ryan Lennon goes and does what he does, doing Alpha or in the prisons or on the street, and people are captivated and they want to experience and they want to know Jesus the way that he does? Because when he releases his testimony, people are like, whoa, that happened for you, but I knew you. I know where you come from. Can that happen to me as well? Absolutely. And that's the power of testimony. And that's the power of your testimony, where you've came from to where you are now. So as you look at your past and where God has brought you from and what he did to get you here, you can fully realize that encouragement for tomorrow comes from yesterday's strength. You endured what's happened. You survived. You more than survived, you thrived. Because you're here and you can thrive again. you will thrive again. And what you need to do is stand up and take your confidence back. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you, if you know that you've gave your confidence away, I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask you to take it back. I'm already standing, and I'm taking mine back.